Korean leaders made history at the border on Friday. Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un shook hands with President Moon Jae-in, kicking off the first summit between the two countries in more than 10 years. Kim then stepped across a military demarcation line, becoming the first North Korean leader to set foot in the South since the Korean War in the 1950s.
Strong beverage and snack sales in the developing world boosted PepsiCo's quarterly profit and sales, and those results beat analysts' expectations. Sales in Latin America were particularly robust. In North America, the maker of Mountain Dew Soda and Lipton Tea posted a smaller sales decline at its beverage business. As with rival Coca-Cola, new drinks drove much of that recovery.
You know, there's just no relation between value and usefulness. There's the currency, like Bitcoin, and then there's the technology, like blockchain. Blockchain technology has terrific applications, including financial transactions. But we don't need a new currency to do it. And by the way, there's no reason that a new currency should instantly have, billions of dollars of value.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's April 27th, 5:11 in the morning. Another business day, another edition of the Opening Bell underway. We have a good show for you today. Paul Nolte is in the house. We're going to bring him in for our first conversation of the hour in just a few seconds here. And a little bit later on, Brian Summers from Skift.com will tell us a little bit more about the CEO of United turning down a bonus and the chairman of the board there leaving some movement at United with some other airline news. Brian will be in our second segment this morning at 5:40. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, markets around the globe seem to be mixed to positive. Europe markets are higher in London, Germany, and France. And in Asia, markets are higher as well, with the Nikkei up about 0.5%. The Hang Seng is up almost a full percent. Markets around the rest of Asia higher as well. And in the United States, it's going the other way. Dow futures off about 84 points right now. NASDAQ futures are up about 8, and S&P futures are down about 6 points. Crude oil is at $67.92 a barrel, which is down about 27 cents. Yesterday on Wall Street, stocks climbed as Facebook led a rally by technology companies. Amazon, Microsoft, Starbucks, and United Parcel Service reported higher first quarter profits. Strong results from companies like Chipotle, Mexican Grill, and O'Reilly Automotive also helped in the market. Retailers and other consumer-focused companies appear to be doing well. Energy companies also climbed. This morning, one of the stories we're watching for you is involving Amazon. Amazon says it's raising the price of its annual Prime membership fee by 20% next month. The company says the Prime members in the U.S. will now pay $119 a year, up from $99 starting May 11th for new members. The new price will apply to renewal starting June 16th. The online retailer recently disclosed for the first time that it has 100 million Prime members worldwide. Then this price increase expected to generate about $2 billion, according to their earnings call yesterday. Let's bring in Paul Nolte to talk more about these earnings reports. Paul is a senior portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago, and he's with us every Friday. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Amazon, wow.
It's all part of the world domination by Amazon. Their growth has been phenomenal. Top line growth year over year was north of 40%, which is, for a company their size, huge. And of course, the stock reacted very positively after hours. And part of the reason why NASDAQ is actually still positive this morning, while the S&P and the Dow are down a little bit. And really, when you look at Amazon, a lot of their revenue growth is not from the fulfillment center. It's from the cloud. And we saw that with Microsoft. We saw that from other companies. As people put more and more things on the cloud and get away from having a PC desktop hard drive someplace, Amazon is kind of leading the way with the expansion of their cloud service, their AWS service.
Yeah, Amazon shares this morning yesterday, up about 4% for the day yesterday at the end of the day, and then up about 7% in the pre-market this morning. Amazon, are they becoming too big, or what's
that's been the thought? You know, is that, you know, you get to a certain size that you're now going to grow along with the economy. And as we've noticed, and we've talked about over the last year or so, really, is the Amazon effect on brick and mortar retail. We're seeing a lot of those companies shutter doors, consolidation, et cetera, as people move to online. There's still a lot of room for Amazon to grow in that service. And then you add on top of that a lot of the other things that they're getting involved in. They have a very broad market of things that they can be involved in, and still room to grow. But for a company that size to be growing at north of 40% top line revenue, not earnings, but just top line, is incredible here.
Facebook, one of the other FANG stocks, they had a pretty good quarter as well, despite all of the negative publicity.
And that's part of the reason why the stock reacted so positively. That was one of the concerns coming into earnings, was how much of this would be impacted. Now, to be fair, a lot of that happened toward the end of the quarter, beginning of the second quarter, so we may not see the full impact of that until next quarter. But they still saw a very large growth rate in the amount of new users versus a year ago. And that surprised a lot of people, so that there still is a large adoption of people onto the Facebook platform.
The others in the FANG stocks, Netflix, Google, both also Google especially, these are good investments still.
They are. And when you take a look at the technology sector as a whole, we've backed off a little bit on technology over the last couple of weeks. But and when you look at technology as a whole, they still are reasonably priced versus what their valuations have been over the last 20 years or so. So from a valuation perspective compared to how they're growing earnings and revenue, they still are on the cheap side. They're not in the PE range or valuation range that we saw in the 2000s or 1999 when we had the tech bubble. So there's still room to run. The fact that they've gone 2 years really leading the market has put us in a position of taking a little bit of money off the table. But we still like the technology sector as a whole, but just to pull back here a little bit.
Paul, hang on. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the economic news out today. GDP, we're going to look at that, and what some wage growth numbers as well.
From ABC News Wall Street Now, stocks are set to be mixed as investors await a new round of earnings reports. But the meeting between North and South Korean leaders could have a positive impact on trading. Get ready to shell out more for a popular online shopping service. Starting next month, Amazon says it's raising the price of its annual Prime membership from $99 to $119 a year for new customers. It goes into effect for existing members June 16th. Starbucks says sales grew 2% last quarter, beating Wall Street's expectations. The news as the Seattle-based company prepares to close 8,000 U.S. locations May 29th to conduct racial bias awareness training for its employees. And what was once considered unthinkable for Microsoft, now not so bad. The company's latest earnings report shows that Windows is no longer a core business. But that's not a big worry. The company says the software now complements other products, including Office 365 Suite for businesses. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. We're here with Paul Nolte this morning from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul, our regular guest here on Friday. We talk about the economy and our portfolios. Paul, in the news today, the Labor Department has first quarter employment costs, and also Commerce Department has the GDP for January to March, an estimate of GDP. GDP is going to be the big one, though.
Yeah,
right?
It is. And that, well, there's two parts of that. One is the PCE indicator, which probably is going to hit 2%, and that's the personal consumption number that the Fed looks at. And the Fed would love to have that number north of 2%, indicating that inflation is finally taking hold. As goofy as that sounds, they're looking for that to pick up here. But GDP should probably be coming in about the 2% range, plus or minus a little bit. And that's down from early estimates of north of 5 coming into the first quarter. And historically, we've seen over the last 5-6 years, the first quarter is actually the weakest quarter of the year. So we're anticipating that that number should improve as we go through the course of the year. But as we've talked about before, the GDP is going to be tough to get above 3%, primarily because of the demographics here in the United States. We're not going to see that type of 4 to 4.5% growth that we've seen coming out of recessions historically because of the changing demographics in the United States.
And what is it going to mean that we don't get it that high? Because I recall, weren't there some tax calculations from the tax bill that were hoping on that being higher?
Yeah, and so that's one of the problems that we're going to have is the debt issue that we have right now. We have much more debt as a country, and the debt to GDP is getting close to almost 100%. So all of the economic growth that we're getting is being taken up by issuance of debt. And so as interest rates rise, we're going to pay a larger and larger bill for the borrowing from the United States to try to get the economy to go. And if we can't grow our way out of that debt, we're going to have to pay it off somehow. The thought being we're going to have to pay that off. But as we've all noticed, the federal government has that printing machine in their basement. So they will print money if necessary somewhere down the road, which again brings back that inflation issue that a lot of people are worried about here.
One of the other things that happened this week was we saw the 10-year Treasury go above 3%. It's at 2.97 this morning, I think, so it's down a little bit. Why was everybody making a lot of noise about that?
You know, because when you take a look at the long-term chart of the 10-year Treasury, 30-year Treasury, any of the Treasury issues, 2-year, 5-year, et cetera, for the 10-year especially, that marked the change in decline. If you go back to 1984 when this bond rally started and interest rates were north of 14%, and you drew a line, that 3% number broke above that downtrend line. So, again, from a technical perspective, looking at the picture, that marked a change in the overall direction of interest rates from a generally falling interest rate environment for the last 30-plus years to now potentially a rising interest rate environment. Our call is at least more sideways, but we saw in the shorter maturities, 2 years, 5 years, that those have broken those downtrend lines a few months ago. So the 10-year was one of the last to go. So the thought is now we're in a different interest rate environment, one that where rates are generally rising as opposed to falling. And that's going to crimp the S&P 500 and earnings growth going forward in valuations of the market. If interest rates are significantly higher, investors may choose to buy bonds as opposed to get stocks. If I can get 3 to 4% on a bond, safe and secure, why am I going to screw around in the stock market and watch the markets go up and down a lot?
And therein comes my next question, the opportunity for those of us who are investing in the market.
And what we've done is we've moved a little bit more defensive as the markets have recovered here. What we've seen over the last, really this year, we saw the market peak out in January. We saw the big sell-off in early February, rally back in March to a lower high, sell-off again, rally back again to a still lower high. We haven't broken for the S&P 500 roughly the 2600 level, and that's kind of the Maginot line that we look at. If it gets below that, we could see the markets decline probably another 5 to 10% or so. So we've been bouncing around in this trading range, and we're getting a little bit concerned as we get late in this economic cycle. We start to see inflation pick up. We start to see interest rates pick up. So that creates some big headwinds for the equity markets over the next 6 to 9 months, maybe even a year. So we've started to take a little bit of money off the table, put it a little bit more short term, increase our cash, just so that if the markets do decline, we have some resources then to go back in and do some buying here.
What else do you like that's out there?
You know, it's interesting. We've talked a long time about emerging markets and in international investing. And with the strength in the dollar and the pickup of U.S. Interest rates, that has hurt the international markets and hurt the emerging markets. But those values, I think, are still there. So we've gotten an opportunity to pick up a little bit of international exposure here on the cheap over the last 3 to 4 weeks. So really, it continues to be international investing for the next probably 3 to 5 years. And for at least the next short while, maybe 6 to 9 months or so, having a little bit of extra powder dry powder is not a bad thing.
Paul, always a good conversation. I think I've taken a couple of notes here that might be able to make us a couple of bucks this morning.
Well, maybe not this morning, but over the next couple of weeks.
Very good. We'll see you again next week, Paul.
All right.
Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. You can find out more about Paul and his colleagues over at Kingsview online at kingsview.com.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by chicagoinno.com. As cities nationwide continue to vie for Amazon's second headquarters, the discussion around how HQ2 will impact rent continues. But according to an analysis by Zillow, Chicago would only see a small increase in rent prices, unlike other cities such as Los Angeles, Denver, and Boston, which would see more significant hikes in rent. Chicago startup Tapster makes robots that essentially have one job: tap a touchscreen over and over again. Tapster makes robots that have one digit and a stylus that can repeatedly test touchscreen devices to automate testing for electronics makers. Early customers include Mercedes-Benz, which uses Tapster to test its self-parking mobile app. And a new Industrious co-working office is slated to open in Evanston next month. Industrious will be the city's third co-working office and will have about 70 private office spaces. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at chicagoinno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. This past week, we learned that the CEO of United Airlines decided he was not going to accept his annual bonus this year, and also the chairman of the board at United is out. Those are just two of the big headlines from the aviation and travel world this week. Brian Summers joins us via Skype now. He's the airline business reporter for Skift.com. We're going to be talking a little bit about both of these stories. Brian, good morning. Let's start with the story about Oscar Munoz over at United.
Yeah, it just seems like every week, Steve, we're talking about some drama at United Airlines. We really don't know what happened in the boardroom at United here. There have been whispers for a while that the board of directors doesn't always get along on everything. Again, I have no inside information, but we know that we're going to get a new chairman, which is interesting because the last chairman had airline industry experience. He had worked at Air Canada. He was pretty well respected. So we'll have to see who we get next. It's hard to know what to read into the Oscar Munoz not taking a bonus issue means. Oscar is obviously very interested in the way he looks to employees and even customers, and you know, maybe the board told him to do this, or maybe he just thought it was the right thing to do in terms of optics. He certainly got some positive press out of it, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I read that he had actually told I guess some of the people there at United that he wanted to give an example of accountability, and this is the accountability lesson.
Exactly. And, you know, airline executives do at times, I won't say play games, but they certainly worry about public perception. And we saw a couple years ago American Airlines CEO Doug Parker do something that perhaps wasn't similar, but the same idea. He said, you know what, I'm not going to take a salary anymore. I'm just going to take my compensation and in stock. And you can say, well, that seemed like a very bright idea because everybody knew American stock was going to go up. But it was certainly possible that if he wasn't going to take a salary, that he wouldn't get paid for a few years. Again, it's worked out well for him. But the optics of that decision were also pretty good.
Back to the chairman part of the story. Does it does the flying public notice the chairman at all, decisions or things that happen in that boardroom?
You know, it's really hard to believe that the flying public would notice that an airline has changed its chairman. That's more of a thing, as you know, for investors. And I presume that the board will pretty much act as it always had. I mean, certainly the board makes decisions like, you know, what new aircraft to buy. But I bet they can do that anyways without the chairman.
Another story that you've written is, I think, a little bit funny, but files under the category of, well, because we saw that coming, and that is United Airlines losing some of these pieces of bedding that they've been putting in the cabin, in some of the higher class cabins.
Yeah, this one is a lot more fun, as you say. I wrote a story last week about how all these airlines are upgrading their pillows and duvets and things like that, really in business class and first class. You know, people in coach probably wouldn't believe this, but as recently as 5 years ago, the bedding even in business class was pretty crummy. And a lot of airlines, including United Airlines, have upgraded them. They're now branded as Saks Fifth Avenue. And yeah, they're not exactly what you would find in stores, but they're much better than they were. And they seem to be disappearing off the plane at, you know, an alarming rate. And this is something that I think that United is okay with. You know, a spokesperson told me, hey, it means a lot to us that passengers are basically stealing these items because it means that they like them. But it means that United and also American as well, they told me, they have to provision more items than they ordinarily would. So things just get stolen off the plane. And the truth is that airlines maybe don't love it, but they tend to look the other way as well.
Yes, I've heard before, and I'm sure you have too, the announcement over the PA. Hey, listen, please be sure you leave those items on board as you exit the aircraft. Are they taking up some of this stuff earlier, or have they changed any of their activities around these items?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. I think that I saw that perhaps United is trying to collect them a little bit before landing. I know that American Airlines does that with these Bose headphones that they give to people in business class. Those are more expensive even than bedding, and you'll find flight attendants coming through the aisles on flights being, you know, almost militant, ensuring that they get every last headset. I don't think it's that bad for bedding. But United told me, hey, you know what? If you really like the bedding, you might want to go to our online shop where you can buy this duvet blanket for about $60. An airline insider who is not familiar with the United deal told me that an airline for a good duvet might spend about $10. So if you do buy it in United's online shop, United is probably making a pretty good margin on it.
Brian, you've written another cool story about a passenger's wish list for future jet travel. This is a conference you went to in Germany.
Yeah, there was. Every April in Hamburg, Germany, is the aircraft interior show. It's the place that you absolutely have to be if you want to see what's coming to airline interiors in the future. So people are there selling overhead bins and airline carpeting and, you know, sidewalls and everything that you could imagine, the decals that are on the planes. And one of the popular things is seats. And I know that a lot of people every year right around this time see these ha-ha stories, especially in online media about, you know, hey, wouldn't it be amazing if they were half-standing, half-sitting seats or forward, backward seats, and everybody gets excited and then people get upset. You know, how dare airlines would make us stand for the entire flight. And then I have to go on the radio and talk to people and say, okay, you know, some of this stuff is feasible, but I rarely hear an airline talking about the possibility of a half-standing, half-sitting seat. And most of these seats are not certified, which is a big deal in the airline industry because there's so many safety certification boards, and they all want to make sure that you can survive in a crash. So sometimes what looks good on paper doesn't work when you actually put the dummies in the machine and you crash them against the wall. But we did see some interesting stuff this year. A couple of them I found interesting because they were advances in the bathroom. So one of them was a double urinal on an aircraft, which would be interesting because the manufacturer believes that, you know, if only men used it, then women would have their own separate restrooms, then the lines would move faster because people, of course, don't like waiting in line. And another one was a second-generation bidet that they thought would be very popular among Asian and Middle Eastern airlines.
Part of this is that airlines want to add more sleeping space, too.
Yeah, you know, airlines are always interested in doing more with less. So they want to add more seats, even in business class, in the same amount of space. And one of the things that airlines have been looking at is this idea of, you know, could we put seats or pods or suites in what is now the cargo hold. It seems somewhat feasible, and at the show, Airbus, along with the seating manufacturer called Zodiac, said by 2020, we think on one airplane, the Airbus A330, we could probably put people in the cargo hold. And that does not sound as bad as people think. I mean, you know, one problem with the cargo hold is that there's no windows. But other than that, it's just a place on an airplane. I think people know that pilots and flight attendants have bunks on the airplane in windowless areas that passengers have never seen. I've seen them. They look very, very comfortable. And if you could have like a real bed in the cargo area, that might be very comfortable for people.
Brian, always good chatting with you. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Brian Summers is the airline business reporter at skift.com. You can follow Skift at Skift on Twitter and Brian at Brian Summers. And make sure you sign up for the weekly Skift Airline Innovation Report at skift.com/airline.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, the Dow futures off 76 points. NASDAQ futures are higher by 13. And S&P futures are lower by a few points. Let's get the latest on commodities and agriculture. And good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Well, good morning to you, Steve, as we take a look at maybe better planting weather coming in over the next few days, because on the start of this week on Monday, the report was that only 5% of the corn crop had been planted and only 2% of the soybean crop had been planted. But they're looking at better weather for getting planting underway, and soil temperatures are coming back. So we'll probably see downward pressure on the market for a good part of this week as planting pace picks up. The other disappointment, I think, in the grain market is the figure that came out yesterday on soybean exports for the week ending yesterday. It came in at 537,800 tons. That's down from 2,130,000 tons a week earlier. And analysts had expected soybean export sales in a range of 800,000 tons to 1.4 million tons. So is that the China-U.S. trade war impact? Not sure, but it's another thing that the grain market will be keeping an eye on. As far as livestock futures, the lean hog contracts down nearly 2% yesterday. A lot of that was technical selling and a weak cash hog market. And wholesale pork prices struggled to rally as chilly weather has delayed the traditional start of the outdoor grilling season in much of the country. You know, it's amazing, Steve, how meat consumption and buying by consumers does go up when we get grilling outdoor weather. So we always keep an eye on that come April and May and June, because it does have an impact on sales of pork and beef.
Grilling season is one of my favorite seasons. I have to tell you that, Orion.
Right.
Can't wait for that.
Mine too.
Let me ask you this. We're approaching the deadline for something on NAFTA. Are you hearing any movement in that area?
You know, it's almost funny to me, because I said when they started it would be like watching paint dry, and it's certainly turning out to be that way, because nearly every other day we get a comment or a statement from negotiators from Canada or Mexico or the U.S., and they all say, we're making progress. But I'm not seeing much in the way of progress, and it's, I think, going to be very difficult to get NAFTA in place by the Mexican presidential election, which they set kind of as a goal, but I don't think we're going to make it. I'm hoping we get a farm bill by the deadline in September, but that may come before the NAFTA agreement. The other big news that came this week was what's going to happen to larger livestock operations in the future, because on Thursday, a federal jury awarded more than $50 million in damages to neighbors of an industrial hog operation found responsible for intense smells, noise, and other disturbances so bad that people couldn't enjoy their rural homes. And so yesterday, jurors awarded the 10 neighbors of a 15,000-head swine operation a total of $750,000 in compensation, plus $50 million in damages designed to punish the corporation that owns the animals. And, of course, that corporation is Smithfield, which is in turn owned by a major pork-producing company in China. So there are a lot of other lawsuits just waiting to be judged, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens to these larger livestock, whether it be dairy, cattle, or pork in the future.
All right, Orion, have a great weekend.
You too, my friend.
All right, Orion Samuelson with us. Make sure you tune in to the morning show tomorrow with Orion and Max from 5 to 6 right here on 720 WGN. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for Friday, April 27th. The Labor Department releases the first quarter employment cost index today. The Commerce Department issues the first of three estimates of how the U.S. economy performed in the January to March quarter. Also today, we'll get a look at the Chicago PMI and a report on consumer sentiment and a report on farm prices later in the day as well. And on the earnings calendar, ExxonMobil reports quarterly financial results, among several others, today.